Shalom uvracha, Erev Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Korach. So, after we've spoken about the more halachic end of Parashat HaShavua, I want to just go back and analyze a little bit the beginning of the parasha, which speaks about the famous showdown between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Very interesting, we all know that the Gemara tells us in Masechet Menachot Daf Kaftet, we saw a very similar Gemara not long ago in the Daf Hayomi, in Shabbat, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Ele toledot ha-shamayim v'ha-aretz behi bare'am. Says the Gemara, this is a pasuk in Bereshit, behi bare'am behe bera'am. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a he, the letter he. U'mipnema nivra ha'olam hazeh behe, which means what? Why was this world created with a he? Mipnei shedome le'achsadra. This world is like an open gazebo. Shekol ha-rotze latzet yotze. Which means what? You ever look at a he? How is a he formed? It's like a dalet, right? Or a resh with a little stick. But on the bottom, unlike other letters of the aleph bit, is it open or closed on the bottom of the he? Open. Why? Says the Gemara, that whoever wants to leave this world, a person can do so. A person can just fall right out. And then the Gemara says, why is it that the he next to it has a, why does the leg of the he not go all the way up to the roof like a chet? Why is it hanging? Says the Gemara, labriut. Says the Gemara, di hadar b'tshuva me'aylele. If a person is chozer b'tshuva, he'll go, they will allow him to come back b'tshuva and go back into the world from that small space on the side of the he. Says the Gemara, v'le'ayel me'ach. Why can't he just go back right up where he came down from? Says the Gemara, lam staya milta. You cannot go back up from where you fell back down. Kederish lakish, damarish lakish. Which means you need an extra petach. You need an extra opening from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow you to be chozer b'tshuba. Rabotai, listen very carefully. The Sichot Musar, Gaon Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik V'Racha, says something very beautiful on this Gemara. What do you see? That in this world, how easy is it to fall out? How easy is it for a person to go astray and to completely, very easily loses chilek la'olam haba? The Gemara says that it's very, very easy. It's much easier for a person to fall out, to lose his chilek la'olam haba, than to gain it. It's much easier to come back in. You have to go out from the side. You need special heavenly assistance and intervention to help push you back in when you're chozer b'tshuva. But to fall out is very, very easy. Now, in general, you know, the way the Gemara says in Masichet Shabbat Daf Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, that when the Yetzer Hara tries to get a person to sin, the Yetzer Hara has a strategy. And what is that strategy? The Gemara says, Hayom omer lo asekach. Machar omer lo asekach. Ad sheomer lo lech avod avodah zarah. The way it works, says the Gemara, is the Yetzer Hara doesn't come to a person immediately and say, okay, go do avodah zarah, shfichu damim and gilui arayot. It doesn't work that way. He knows it's not going to work. What he has to do is he has to start slow. He gets a person to do smaller avirot. A little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, and then slowly but surely a person gets used to doing small avirot, and that leads eventually to avodah zarah as well. Korach, rabotai, if we analyze the persona of Korach, Korach was a very, very great man. He was a very big tzaddik. Not only that, Rashi HaKadosh quotes Chazal and says that one of the reasons, one of the things that led Korach astray was what? He saw Beruach HaKodesh, that who is going to come out of him?
Shmuel.
Shmuel HaNavi. And that kind of blindsided him to do the shtut that he did because he saw that such great people would come from him. Korach dropped hard and fast. The Yetzer Hara with Korach wasn't slow and steady like the Gemara says it usually is. It was a very, very quick descent into the abyss, literally. Why is that? How did that happen? So the Sichot Musar quotes the Mishnah in the fourth Pirik of Pirkei Avot, which says that there are three exceptions when the Yetzer Hara is able to get a person immediately, and he doesn't have to follow the usual strategy of slow and steady. And you know what that is? That is, the Mishnah says, Hakin'ah v'ata'ava v'akavod motzi'in et ha'adam min ha'olam. Remember we spoke about before, leaving the world, falling out of the he, that can happen very quickly when kin'ah, jealousy, ta'ava, desire, and kavod, honor, are involved. Rashi HaKadosh also at the beginning of the parasha says, what caused Korach to be led astray? Who did Moshe Rabbeinu appoint as the leader or as the prince of Bnei Kehat? That was Elitzafan ben Uziel. And Korach became extremely jealous. Why? Because he says, according to the order of hierarchy, Moshe Rabbeinu already has a job. He's the leader. Remember, Kehat had four sons. Who are the four sons of Kehat? Amram, Yitzhar, Hebron, Ve'uziel. Amram's two sons, Moshe ve'Aharon, already had positions. Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader. Aharon was the Kohen. And now there was one more position to be filled to be the prince of Bnei Kehat. And according to the order of family hierarchy, who should have been next in line? Korach. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give that position to Korach. He gave it to his younger cousin, Elitzafan ben Oziel. He was the son of the youngest son of Kehat. And that sent Korach off the edge. And he says, I don't get you guys. Until you did this move, I thought maybe you were acting the Shem Shamayim. But now you skipped me over. Obviously, you guys did it by yourselves. It has nothing to do with God. You guys are busy with your own kavod. And that's why you skipped me over. Once kin'ah, ta'ava, and kavod get involved, the descent into the abyss is inevitable and immediate. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Yeah? They have Monopoly in Panama, Shlomo?
Of course.
Spanish Monopoly. Anyway, Bekitsur, that's funny. Anyway, so he says like this. Aval, no pasago, no colectar.
200.
Yeah, anyway, Bekitsur. So he says like this. That's Korach, Rabotai. We understand why he fell. Can I ask you a question, Rabotai? This is, all the Mefarshim ask this question. We can, you know, by looking at Rashi and the other Mefarshim, we can maybe start to understand what led Korach off, what made him go astray. But Korach wasn't alone. Korach had Datan va'Aviram, and he had 250 Rashi Sanhedraot that followed him. 250, not members of the Sanhedrin, 250 heads of Sanhedrin that went off with him. And what happened to them at the end?
Swallowed by the ground.
Nope. Those 250, what happened to them?
They got burned.
They got burnt to death. Now, and then after that, how many other people died? After that, there was a magifa of another 14,700 people who died as a result of that magifa. So now, you ever wonder, Korach, okay, I understand, kin'ah, ta'ava, kavod, jealousy, okay, fine, whatever it is. But the other people, what were they thinking? They stand to gain nothing. Was there any kin'ah on behalf of the other 250 people? They weren't going to gain anything. They weren't going to have any positions. What in the world caused them to be led astray? And by the way, whose advice, who made this claim first and saved her husband as a result?
His wife.
Whose wife?
Korach.
No.
Korach's
wife took him down. Whose wife saved his life? On Ben Pelet. On Ben Pelet's wife. On Ben Pelet originally was on Korach's side. His wife told him, what are you crazy? She said, be logical. If Moshe Rabbeinu was right, you have nothing to do with it. If Korach is right, you still have nothing to do with it. So what did she say? Either which way you slice it, what do you do? Don't get involved. What do you have to get involved for? And that's how she saved his life. You know the midrash that Rashi HaKadosh brings down. Had it on Ben Pilat, how did his wife save his life?
Sheitel uncovered her hair.
She came to get him, right? They were gonna go do some rioting. They were going to some protests, yeah, without masks and stuff. And they came to get him. They came to pick him up from the house. And his wife, On Ben Pilat's wife, sat at the entrance of the house with uncovered hair. So even though they were Ba'alei Machloket, but they were tzaddikim to a certain extent, and they got startled, said, whoa, this is not for us. They were too holy to see that, and therefore they turned away, and they left without him. But she mamash saved his life because of this ta'ana. How come only On Ben Pilat's wife asked this question? These 250 Rashi Sanhedraot, Geone Olam, Tzadike Olam, how come they didn't ask themselves this question? We have nothing to gain here. Why are we getting involved? And at the end of the day, they knew the halakha. They already knew from Nadav Avihu that anybody who brings a foreign or uncommanded ktoret, what happens to them? They die. So if Aharon is right, Korach's going to die. If Korach is right, Aharon's going to die. But no matter who's right between Aharon and Korach, what's going to happen to the 250 people? They all knew to begin with that they were going to die. So what are they thinking? Were they suicidal? They were very intelligent people. Says the Sichot Musar something beautiful. Rashi HaKadosh also says, quoting the Midrashim, what was it that Korach told the people to win them over to his side? We find several lines of logic in the beginning of the parasha that are not logical at all. Korach told the people, right? What was the last thing that we spoke about in the previous parasha, Parashat Shelach? The mitzvah of tzitzit and tchilit, correct? And Korach immediately, he made 250 talitot shekulam tchilit. He made 250 pure tchilit talitot and gave it to these people and put one on himself. And what did he say? He asked Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the halakha with a talit that's made completely out of tchilit? Does it require tzitzit with tchilit? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Vadai. Said Korach, why? If one string of tchilit can exempt the whole garment, if the whole garment is made out of tchilit, should it not be patur anyway? And then he asked him, what about bayit male sfarim? A house that's full of sifrei Torah. Is it chayav bimzuzah? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Sure. What did Korach say? If a mezuzah, which only has two parashiot from the Torah, exempts a whole house, shouldn't a house that's full with sifrei Torah be patur in and of itself? Rabotai, these ta'anot, the Mefarshim explained, the ta'anot, the claims that Korach was making were ridiculous. They made no sense. Zero logic. I said on Sunday, yeah, Shlomo, one of the most famous brands of tires here in America is Continental, right? You heard of that? Continental tires, or Goodyear, or, you know, all the other brands of tires. Shlomo, if you have a truck, that's transporting tires, a truck that is full of tires, that does it need tires? That's the equivalent of what Korach was saying. It made no sense. So why did the 250 Rashi Sanhedraot fall for it? The answer is, Korach wasn't using logic. Do you know what method Korach was using to try to win the people over? It wasn't logic. It's something that's called litzanut. It wasn't necessarily making a joke, but it's being sarcastic, being facetious, making light of something serious. He was trying to take the mitzvah of tzitzit and mock it. He was trying to take the mitzvah of mezuzah and mock it. The Midrash says another thing. You know what else he said to win people over? When Korach came back that same day, remember in Parashat Be'alotecha, 2 weeks ago we read the purification process for the Levim. What was the purification process for the Levim, Rabotai? What did they have to go through? Anybody remember?
Shave it off.
Shave all the hair.
They had to shave off every single piece of body hair. And then what? Who had to wave them?
Aharon.
Aharon had to wave them.
Everyone.
Korach, when he came back, Korach was a Levi. When he came back from being sanctified, people looked at him, this is Midrash, and they didn't recognize him. They said, Korach, is that you? What did they do to you? Who did this to you? He said, Moshe Rabbeinu did it to me. And he says, not only that, they picked me up like a chicken by my hands and legs, and they waved me up and down, out and in like a parot. And then, as a result of that, he started mocking that, and that's how he got people as well. Rabotai, think about it for a second. Ah, yeah, caramba. He says, Aharon HaKohen, on the day, how many Levim did Aharon have to wave on that same day?
20,000.
22,000 Levim. Aharon HaKohen was 83 years old at the time. What a workout. 22,000 Levim. Now, you better believe that the Levim came in many different shapes and sizes. Yeah? It's humanly, physically impossible to do something like that. Rabbi Bachaye on Parashat Be'alotecha says that the entire waving process, that Aharon waved 22,000 Levim on the same day, all by himself, was only Bederech Nis. In that same Nis, Korach found something to mock. And when you mock something, when you use Letzanut, whose Midah is Letzanut, Rabotai? Who is Mitztayin? Who excelled in the Midah of Letzanut? Which one of the Goyim? Letzanut is the Midah of Amalek. When you introduce Letzanut, sarcasm, facetiousness, when you use those methods, there is no more logic. Logic goes out the window. People fall for Letzanut way over logic any day. And it's so powerful that it can even overcome the 250 Rashi Sanhedraot. Where else do we find in the Torah somebody that used Letzanut? A few weeks ago, we read in Parashat Emor, towards the end of Sefer Vayikra, Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelit, Vehu ben Ish Mitzri. There was the son of the Egyptian man and the Jewish woman, Shelomit Bat Divri. And what did he do? He cursed. Rashi HaKadosh brings down from Chazal, what was the parasha right before? What is the section of the Torah right before this individual cursed Hashem? What does the Torah discuss right before? It's the parasha of Lechem HaPanim. What happened over there? We know, how often did they switch the Lechem HaPanim in the Mishkan and in the Beit HaMikdash?
Once a week.
They switched it once a week. This person came to Am Yisrael and he mocked and he said, this is the bread that you serve, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchei Melachim. You serve any king weak old bread? What kind of thing is that? What kind of shtuyot is that? Are you serious, this guy? What is he, crazy? Do you know what Nisim Gemara says? In Masechet Chagigah, Daf Kavav Amud Bet, the Gemara says that when the Olei Regalim, when people made their pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, to the Beit HaMikdash three times a year, the Kohanim used to take out the Lechem HaPanim and lift it up to show all of Am Yisrael. And what did they say? They used to lift up the Lechem HaPanim to show Am Yisrael, to tell them, look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. When we take out the bread, it's just as hot and fresh as the day it was baked. Which day of the week was Lechem HaPanim baked? Friday, Erev Shabbat. And when did they switch it? They switched it next Shabbat. So what do you see from here, Rabotai?
On Shabbat?
There was on Shabbat, it was baked on Erev Shabbat and switched the next Shabbat, which means that when was the Lechem HaPanim and who ate the Lechem HaPanim? The Kohanim of that Mishmar, which means that by the time they ate it, it was 9 days old. Alan, you ever ate 9 day old Sangak?
Based on what you say, it's 2 weeks. I don't understand.
No.
You say
9 days.
No. You said
from Friday, from today, let's say they bake the Lechem HaPanim today.
Right, they then change it tomorrow?
They put it in tomorrow, and they would take it out and eat it,
take it out
next Shabbat.
Oh, that's what I thought. I thought that it's going to take even 1 week to be there. But I
9 days.
I thought that they cook it and they wait 9 days and then put it in for 8 days. So it's 2 weeks now.
Let me ask you, Alan, when it comes to Sangak, how much of a difference is it between 9 days and 14 days?
2 hours. Two hours.
It's over. Yeah? Forget it. You have to do Kaddish al Israel and Ashkava. Okay? Yeah. And, you have to... And you would say, this is what you serve to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, Ahaban. This is bread. Lechem HaPanim was Nisim. And it was used as a symbol to show Am Yisrael how much Hashem loved them. And you're mocking it? What was the next thing that happened after that? He mocked the lechem apanim, and the very next thing we hear about this guy is that what? He cursed Hashem. And then he was chayav mita. Litzanut is one of the most destructive tools known to man by Am Yisrael. A person can be on such a high level, but if he's introduced to litzanut, it's terrible. You know, Darshanim say, litzanut achat docha elef tochachot. One wisecrack. Is there a Persian word for wisecrack? No. One wisecrack can push away 1,000 divrei musar. Does it ever happen that you go to a shiur, you go to a dvar Torah, whatever it is, and it's a nice shiur, you're uplifted, you ask your friend, ah, what do you feel about the shiur? Very nice, very geschmack, no? And the guy, eh! Right, he gives you one of those. What happens to your chizuk? It's over. That's called welcome to Amalek. That's Korach style. That's exactly how Korach won over 250 Rashi Sanhedraot. Logically, in your mind, what happened? The guy said, eh, and all of a sudden becomes a bad shiur? Lama, why? It's still a good shiur. Keep your chizuk. Human nature, you have to stay away from litzanim. People who make litzanut, it's terrible. It leads people down very, very slippery slopes. So the message, I think, is clear. And it's a message for all of us. I'm speaking to myself, you know, primarily. Litzanut is a very, very dangerous weapon. And it's antithetical to pursuit of Torah mitzvot and Avodat Hashem. It's not the way a Jew is supposed to be. That's not the way we operate. Because once the litzanut is there, logic and heart, emotion, they all go out the window. Litzanut wins. That's how he won. So, Rabotai, let's make sure to take our Avodat Hashem seriously. Not mock it, chas v'shalom. And if you hear people mocking it, walk away. There's no reason to even listen to them. Just walk away from it. That's the midah shel Korach. Mockery. Mockery is able to turn off many, many people. Just walk away. Don't stand for it. So, I wish you all a wonderful Shabbat.
Can I have a question? So, yeah. Even though, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but didn't the Korach had a valid, objection?
Claim.
He was the older, and he was. I understand that to that point he was the tzaddik, and he was the richest of the richest.
Okay, so he would have had a valid claim to get the position if Moshe Rabbeinu was giving out the positions himself. But what was Moshe Rabbeinu's counterclaim? I hear you, but what?
Hashem decided.
You think I put myself in this position and I put on? Hashem tells me who to put where, and he told me to put in your cousin. What do you want from me? He says you would have had a valid claim. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, he used the Latzanut to take them back to Egypt, like all the Shratim wanted to go back to Esther. Shratim wanted to go back to Egypt. Maybe that was their...
No, well, he doesn't. He didn't make mention of that. He didn't make mention of going back to Egypt. But he said that ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. We don't need. We can stay in the midbar or go into Eretz Yisrael, either or. But we don't need your leadership or the kehuna for that.
They were afraid of Israel to go to Israel.
No, that was the miraglim, really. But anyway, the kitzur. That's what's going on over here, Rabotai. I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll give the customary. ברכה לאבריבדי מי שברך אבותינו הקדושים אברהם יצחק ויעקב משה ואהרון יוסף בן שלמה הוא יברך את כל הקהל הקדוש הזה גדולים קטנים הם ונשיהם ובניהם ותלמידיהם וכל השלהם מכה דעלמה יברך אתכם ויזכה אתכם וישמע בקל צלו תכון תתפרקון ותשזון מקונצלם והכתב ימי מרד אדוני מסעדכם ויגן בעדכם ויפרוס סוכת שלום עליכם ואיתה בינינו וביניכם אהבה ואחווה שלום ורעות ויסלק שנאת חינם מביניכם ישבור עול הגויים על צוואריכם ויקיים בכם מקרא שכתוב אדוני אלוהי אבותיכם יוסף בנכם ככם 1,000 פעמים ויברך אתכם כאשר יתברכם וכן יהי רצון ונאמר אמן. Take care everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Well, we'll send out the Sunday schedule. בעזרת השם המוצאי שבת. Take care. הצלחה רבה. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi.